we turn our attention to Scripture, I'm actually going to share that passage that to which Carol alluded in a few moments. But first, we're going to start out with Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, truly the verse that is on the literature of Let God Lead, about first fruits. It's on page 174 in your pew Bibles, if you would like to follow along. I'll just be reading a couple verses, beginning with the first verse of Deuteronomy 26. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. And then in 1 Timothy 6, which if again you want to flip over, it's on page 199 in the pew hymnals, Paul's words beginning with the 17th verse. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. We continue our stewardship emphasis of discernment. Let God lead today, as your bulletin insert indicates, in generosity, let God lead. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. James Meade shares an experience while he was on a mission trip some years ago to India. He says, I learned about a fascinating practice of the Evangelical Church of India. When the church baptizes a new believer, this new member is given the gift of a coconut palm tree. The new believer takes it home and plants it, and within 4 years, this tree starts to bear fruit. When the coconut palm is young, it will bear about $50 worth of coconuts a year. And when it matures, it will provide about $100 worth of annual income. And in India, the part of India in which Mr. Meade or Reverend Meade speaks, $100 of yearly income is a significant amount of money, even for the middle class. The church gives the new believers coconut palms for two reasons. First, as most people are needy, the income helps to provide for their needs. Second, the coconut palms teach a lesson about Christian stewardship. You see, the church tells each new believer that it expects them to tithe 10% of whatever income they get out of the coconut palm tree. Now, the coconut tree palm is a wonderful idea and a great expression of the deeper meaning of Christian stewardship. The income the family gets from the tree comes free, entirely as a gift. They don't buy the tree, it is given to them. Also, the tithe, the 10%, is money they get free. The family is able to enjoy the fruits of a gift given freely to them, and also to have the joy of freely giving something away themselves. Moreover, these new Christians play a crucial role of stewards in all of this. They have a choice. If they wish, they can take the tree home, throw it in a corner, and let it die, never growing any coconuts. But they can also choose to plant their tree in a good spot, take care of it, watch over it, and harvest the coconuts. Everything depends on their decision making. No one forces them to tithe. There are no coconut tree tithing police to make sure they are giving 10% of the coconut income to the Lord's work. People are free to choose to give or not. And Mead goes on to share that this idea that human possessions are really gifts comes from the Bible. The biblical understanding of wealth and possessions is that everything comes from God and everything belongs to God. Nothing actually belongs to us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in it, says the psalmist, everything and everybody belongs to God. Now, sometimes it is difficult to remember or buy into the reality that God really owns everything. Because you and I work hard for our incomes. We work hard for the money. We have sweated over jobs, put in long hours, and focused energy on our careers and on making our net worth grow. Some of us have gone through tough job negotiations. Some of you perhaps, I don't know, have even gone on strike to improve working conditions or protect some or protest some company policy. We have toiled for what we have, and that makes it difficult to accept this biblical understanding of wealth and possessions. But the truth is that we come into this world with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. We will live, what, 70, 80, maybe 100 years. But when we die, everything we have accumulated and everything we think is ours will stop being ours and will pass on to someone else. 100 years is a long time, but in the great span of time, even 100 years is hardly anything. For a few fleeting moments, we have possession of a few things, but they belong to somebody else before us, and they will belong to others after us. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the wonder of life itself, the planet we live on, the universe itself, we brought none of these into being. These are gifts we enjoy out of the overflow of God's love. The love of God, the gift of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of this Christian community, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, eternal life. None came from us. Each is a gift to us from God. To remember that God owns everything prompts a remarkable shift in our view of stewardship. Usually when we think of stewardship, of giving to the church or to another charitable organization, we define it as our giving to God or to the church, something that belongs to us. When we sit down this week and complete our pledge cards, we think of it as how much of my money or how much of our money am I going to give to the church? But in the Bible, stewardship is just the reverse. It is our freely using, enjoying, and giving what in reality already belongs to God. Now, to be sure, looking at this world in this way takes some doing, some significant change in the way we think about possessions, in how we use our money, and in our behavior. God gives us everything. And God also calls us to give a portion of that away, to pass it along to others. And the question then becomes, do you really believe this? Do you really believe that everything belongs at its basic level to God? That you are simply a caretaker, a steward of it? Do you really believe, as Protestant reformer and father of Presbyterian notes, that quote that I printed in the bulletin, we are the stewards of everything God has conferred on us, and by which we are able to help our neighbor, and are required to render an account of our stewardship. Do you believe that? Pastor Rob Bell puts it this way. Maybe you have this sense. You look around and you have this sense that you don't have that much, because you see people who have even more. But it's a dangerous thing when we start to think that our world is the world. We're bombarded with all of these images of the newest models and the latest styles, and after a while, our stuff, it starts to seem kind of average, outdated, not good enough. But for the rest of the world, our life, our stuff, is the commercial. Our stuff is the catalog. We are the picture in the advertisement. What isn't good enough for us, for the rest of the world, would be more than enough. So the first verse in 1 Timothy, it says, command those who are rich not to put their hope in wealth. And then it goes on, to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That phrase, the God who richly provides us with everything, all that we have is a gift. Food, a gift, clothes, gift, roof, gift, that breath you just took, it's a gift. Now, there are some who say, no, you don't understand. I worked for what I have. I deserve it. It's mine. But like it says in the book of Deuteronomy, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, because it's God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth and possessions in themselves. God never condemns people simply for having things. Indeed, they're gifts from God. It's just that God made us for so much more than just enjoying our stuff. God gives for a reason. So that verse in 1 Timothy, the command begins, to those who are rich, don't put your hope in wealth, put your hope in God. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now, if you're like me at this point, Bell says, you're kind of looking for the pitch. Okay, just tell me where I'm supposed to give money or who I'm supposed to give money to, and then I'll give the money and I'll be off the hook. Let's get this stewardship campaign behind us, and then we can get back to normal. But this is about something much, much bigger than just giving to the latest cause. This isn't some transaction where we write a check or put some cash in an envelope and then we're off the hook. This is about how we view the world and how we view our stuff. This is about what you and I truly believe about what we have. Do I really believe that everything I have is a gift and that I have this divine responsibility to give, to share, to spread it around? Do I really believe that we're commanded to live, that the way we're commanded to live is in fact the best possible way to live? Let's be honest, it's easy to come to a church service. It's easy to read the Bible. It's easy to discuss who believes what and who's right, who's wrong, who's in and who's out. It's easy. But when Jesus talks about his followers, he talks about people who are generous. People who clothe the naked, take food to the hungry, take water to the thirsty, people who visit the prisoners, people who invite the stranger in, people who give their time, people who give their energy, people who give their money. Jesus even said the way is narrow. He said it's difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Putting others first isn't easy. Jesus said he came to serve, and serving demands, requires sacrifice. It costs. It's hard to ask difficult questions about how we spend our money and what we spend our money on. You and I are told in 1,000 ways every day that we need bigger, better, and more, that what we have isn't good enough. We're told, buy this, consume that, get this, and then we'll be happy. Do you ever feel like you're on a treadmill and you're working harder and harder and harder and more and spending more and more time, and at the same time you're more and more stressed and less content? The best question isn't, what can I get? To take the way of Jesus, seriously, is to realize the best question is, what can I give? What can I do? What can you do to be more generous? What is the next step in your life of faith? You have been blessed. What can you give? Who are you going to bless? Now, in closing, I think many of us, without giving it much thought, would certainly give to this church because we love this church and we know that the church as an institution needs money to finish floors and paint sanctuaries and pay electricity bills for office supplies, for programs, for payroll, for insurance, and so on and so on. But biblical stewardship says there is a greater reason to give. This is a reason that goes beyond mileage reimbursements and invoices from the company painting the sanctuary. This is a reason that is more than program budgets and building maintenance. We give to this church, you see, to give glory to God, to make visible the invisible signs of God's grace in this community and in the world. Giving is an act of grace, and grace is something that is far more important to this church than any line item in the budget. And friends, the secret in all this, it's a secret that's so hard to learn because it takes faith. The secret in this is that the more we give, the more we get. The more we give, the more we are letting go of the human world that we are living in. The more we give, the more we are responding to God's call. The more we give, the more we get back. Giving is an act of grace. It is a way of giving thanks to God for all of the wonderful things God has given to us. Giving to the church bears witness not only to our generation of Christians, but also the generations who laid the foundation for the church before us, and to the generations who will sustain the body of Christ in the years to come. We can and will receive so much more than we could ever give. You can't outgive God. Friends, in our generosity, may we let God lead. Let us pray. Oh God, we do thank you for all the gifts of life. Help us to understand that indeed they are gifts. We come into this world with nothing, we leave this world with nothing. Help us to be good stewards of what you have entrusted to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.